May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 977. Deep are the wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. 977.
Oh. is the Lord's to bless his words to the profit of our soul this morning. Let us turn to the Gospel of John and read the first chapter. The first chapter in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us to come now to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Ever blessed and eternal Lord God, do grant us that help we need to come and call upon thy name in prayer. Lord, grant us a thankful heart for once again being found in the place where thy honour dwelleth. Lord, the place we believe ordained for the preaching of the word to bless souls. Gracious God, then, do grant that we may have that living faith to come in prayer, seeking that thou wilt visit us today. Visit our souls with thy salvation. We pray earnestly, Lord, that it may be a time of blessing. Lord, we confess we are not worthy of the least of thy favours, any one of us. But Lord, we come this morning pleading the merits of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading that for his sake thou wilt hear our prayers, and thou wilt look down upon us and remember us for good with that favour thou dost bear unto thy people. Grant, Lord, even today we may be truly comforted with that blessed knowledge that thou hast called us out of the darkness of nature into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that the light may shine into our hearts today. O Lord, that it may be that wonderful light, that light from above, that light which dispels darkness. And Lord, we pray then that it may be done today in each of our hearts. O Lord, we do desire then to be truly thankful that once again we are privileged to gather together to worship. Once again, Lord, able to read together the Word of God. O Lord, that wonderful account of the time when thou wast revealed. O, that time when the Spirit descended upon thyself like a dove. That time when John the Baptist was able to bear record that he saw and that it was indeed the Son of God. And we pray, Lord, today that we may be blessed with like precious faith to indeed behold the Son of God. Oh, Lord, may we realize how necessary it is and how blessed it is and how wonderful it is to truly behold the Son of God. And so, Lord, we pray that thou would look upon us each in love and mercy today. And Lord, we are unworthy of any favour. Lord, we are sinners, deep dyed sinners. And Lord, because of our sin, we do not deserve any mercy. But, O gracious God, hear the prayers today for the blessing of the Lord to come upon us. So, Lord, that we may come to the end of the day and be able to confess the Lord did hear and did answer our prayers. The Lord has come and met with us. The Lord has remembered us in our lowest state. Thou hast fed us with spiritual food. Gracious God, then do come, we earnestly pray. And Lord, may we have something to remember today. Something to go on our way with. To consider, to meditate upon, to beat out. And so we pray, Lord, that our gathering together today may not be in vain. We pray, Lord, the devil may not be allowed to take possession of our hearts and minds. But we pray, Lord, we may know what it is to be blessedly possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, we realize such a blessing is not of ourselves. Oh Lord, it is through thy wondrous grace. And Lord, may we each therefore have the evidence of that grace toward us today. Oh Lord, we pray then for true blessings, reality in our religion. Lord, to be delivered from just a mere outward performance. Oh Lord, we pray we may not just have the husk of religion. We pray, Lord, we may know we possess that true grain. Oh Lord, that which comes from thyself, that which is thy gift. And Lord, to know therefore that through that we do possess the wonderful favour of eternal life. Lord, may that be the concern of everyone here this morning. To know they possess that great and glorious gift of eternal life. Lord, that spiritual life, which we know is so much more valuable than our natural life. Lord, come then, we pray, soften hard hearts. Lord, by nature we are hard-hearted. By nature, Lord, we are rebellious. By nature we come and say, we will not have this man to reign over us. But Lord, may we know that wonderful power of the Holy Spirit of God coming upon us and producing that softness in our heart. Oh Lord, we pray therefore that would take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. Lord, we earnestly pray for such a blessing, so that we may be receptive to hear the word of God, receptive to receive what God the Lord will speak to our souls. O Lord, let us not then turn away from the great truths of the glorious gospel. Let us not, Lord, be found considering the poverty, the things of this poor world. But Lord, help us to be able to come, in those words of the apostle, to consider him. Gracious God, then draw near, we pray, and touch our hearts, so that we may bow down and worship. Oh Lord, we're thankful when we are privileged to be found in that condition of bowing down before our God and worshipping. Lord, may it be so today. Let us not be found worshipping ourselves. May be found worshipping Almighty God. And so therefore, Lord, we earnestly pray that would hear us when we seek for these great things. Lord, they are great things. Lord, they are so important. Help us to realize the importance of them. And may we unite together in true prayer. Thou wilt therefore remember us each for good. With that favour thou bearest unto thy people. O Lord, do come and visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, we pray for each one here. We pray for those who are not able to be here this morning. All the reasons, Lord, are known unto thee. O Lord, we realise that people can make excuses, but Lord, thou knowest the heart. And we pray, Lord, Thou would remember each one then. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would help us today. We pray for the young people and the children. O Lord, grant they may be given that spiritual understanding. O Lord, to truly seek after eternal realities. Lord, may they put first things first in their lives. May they realize the great importance of the life of God in their soul. And then, Lord, help them in their daily work, their daily studies, Lord, at school and at college and as they go to work. Oh, Lord, do help them, do encourage them, help them to commit their way unto the Lord. Help them to trust also in Him, Lord, that Thou would bring all things needful to pass in their lives. Grant them, Lord, that success they need in their examinations. We know, Lord, at this time of year often it's very stressful for the young people. And Lord, mountains are perhaps before them as they sit examinations. But Lord, may they be able to commit their way unto the Lord in these things. And Lord, to hear their prayers. And Lord, to grant them answers. Grant them, Lord, that success which is needful for them. And Lord, where sometimes success is not granted, Lord, may they realize that there is a needs be. And Lord, that they may realize the Lord's hand is upon them for good. And so, Lord, we pray then for all the young people. We pray, Lord, for parents, those who are young parents, those who are older parents. Lord, do guide and direct them. Give them much understanding to instruct their children in this day and age in which we live. Oh Lord, help them and enable them to set a good example and to testify what Thou hast done and the help Thou hast been to them in their lives, which may be an encouragement to their children. Then Lord, those who are older, Lord, those who perhaps do not have any children, Lord, be with and help them and bless them. We pray that they may truly and earnestly pray for the young, so that they may be really mothers and fathers in Israel. And Lord, they may be blessed with spiritual children. And so, Lord, may they not be found wanting in these things. Lord, we pray then for everyone. And we see there may be a true joining together, a true praying for each other, a knitting together in the things of God, and earnestly desiring the blessing of the Lord to come into each soul. O Lord, that this people may truly be a living and a lively people in the things of God. Oh, we pray they may ever put first things first. And Lord, there may be that love one to another through the merits of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh Lord, may they each esteem other better than themselves. May they seek for each other's spiritual good and blessing. And so, Lord, may this people be a truly healthy people in the things of God. Oh Lord, let no root of bitterness springing up trouble them. Keep the devil far away. May therefore walk together in love and unity. We pray, Lord, if it could be Thy will, Thou wilt grant they may have a pastor set before them, Lord, one who they may unite in desire. And we pray, Lord, that in due time one may come and be able to be a true under-shepherd here, one who may instruct and teach for the preaching of the word, and the word may be blessed indeed. O Lord, hear then the prayers to this end, and grant, Lord, that they may not continue in a shepherdless condition, but they may know the blessed favour of a pastor amongst them. Gracious God, we pray for the living Church of God throughout this world. Lord, we look at our condition here and we realise how favoured we are. Lord, the liberty that we enjoy every week by week, able to come together for worship. We remember, Lord, many in this world who do not enjoy these facilities. Many, Lord, who have much opposition, much persecution, Lord, much physical abuse, much mental abuse. Lord, do support the suffering church of God. Lord, especially those families who have lost loved ones, who have been martyred for the sake of Christ. Oh, Lord, support those families and those churches. Those who are in prison, Lord, be with them, and may they be able to speak well of thyself in those prison quarters. And so, Lord, hear us then when we pray for the afflicted and persecuted church. We pray, gracious God, for our own country. Lord, a country so blessed in the past. Lord, so blessed to a large extent today, unworthy as we are. Oh, gracious God, do arise, we pray. And remember our nation for good still. And if it could be thy will, we may yet know better times, better days. Lord, days of true spiritual blessing. Gracious God, do come, we pray. Hear us then when we seek for these things. Remember our Queen. We commend her to thee. Lord, have mercy upon her. May she be blessed indeed and set a good example to our nation. And so, Lord, we come now, praying for thy favour and blessing to be upon us. Accept our thanks, Lord, for every blessing and for every favour. May the Lord Jesus Christ indeed be lifted up today. May we know what it is to be drawn to him. Touch our hearts. Get honour and glory to thy great and holy name. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for his sake. Amen.
In 981, why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. 981.
May it please God to bless us together this morning as we meditate on his word. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, reading verse 29. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and reading verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There had been a time of much darkness in the world, and now the long looked for day, the day which the Church of God had been looking forward to, really from that early day when the Lord promised the Saviour in that Garden of Eden. The Messiah had been looked for. And now, after so many years, the Saviour was to be revealed. We know, of course, he was revealed when he was born, but in a more specific way. Now, after 30 years of his life in this world, he was to be revealed in a very wonderfully and a very special way. And so we see the fulfillment of the Word of God, the fulfillment of the promise. And John the Baptist was that one ordained by God to come and to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And so we have the testimony of John here. And what a glorious sight he had. What a glorious view it was. Blessed with that living faith. God-given faith, the Word of God having come to him, and now he was able to speak these words, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, in essence, how wonderful that was on that occasion. How wonderful it is in the life of the children of God when such words are spoken by God into their heart, and they possess that living faith that they behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Because the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. Without a true view of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is darkness. There is no true light outside of Christ. And what a wonderful thing if in our lives God has given us that faith to look and to behold this one, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We would have only come out of darkness if we have had a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not have been perhaps as we may have thought it would be. We may have perhaps looked for wonderful, amazing visions and revelations, and such things have not occurred. We're not promised blessings like that. It's very rare when those things occur. But the blessing will be if you and I have been given the gift of faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope of salvation. the only way, the only one who can save our souls, the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come. And if the glorious and blessed Spirit of God has shone into our hearts, you will know it has occurred. And you will bless God for that light which has come into your heart. You see, a small light is a very great light. In a dark room, a very small light is a very great light. A small light breaks the darkness. And so if we're being given that faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as perhaps that little light, it will be a great light. And there will be the evidence that we are passed from darkness into light. That state by nature in which we were born, born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and there we remained, and there we do remain until the blessed light shines into our heart and we by faith behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Apostle John, as we read in this chapter, there's three occasions in this chapter where similar words occur like this. He says, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. As we know, the Lord Jesus Christ was born after the birth of John the Baptist. After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Wonderful sight John the Baptist was given. And it's a view of the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And this, my friends, is a Saviour that the Lord, the Spirit of God, reveals to us, that one who is the eternal Son of God. And it will be a wonderful revelation if in our lives we have the evidence that this great and glorious man, this great and glorious Son of God, this great and glorious Saviour came into this world to take away our sins. We read, which taketh away the sin of the world. And of course that was not the sins of every person that was born into this world. No, it's the sins of both Jew and Gentiles, those for whom the Lord prayed. In the 17th of John we read, I pray for them. Who is that? Who is he praying for? For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from them, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That's who the Lord is praying for. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. It's a very humbling consideration to realize the depth of the truth of these words that the Saviour prayed to his Father when on this earth, only a few hours, of course, before he was to be crucified. how amazing it is to think that we, as undone and ruined and black sinners in this world, are those who this statement is true of. Wonderful truth. And I am glorified in them. The grace of God is glorified in his people. It's that light of the Lord Jesus which shines forth, which glorifies his great and holy name. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We might think, and you young people might think, well, why did the apostle describe the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as the Lamb of God? You might think, why didn't he describe the Lord Jesus as the Son of God directly, rather than speaking in these terms, behold the Lamb of God? Well, the people would have been familiar with the figure of a lamb. The Lamb of God was indeed prefigured throughout Scripture as that one who would save his people from their sins. Not only, of course, is a lamb very meek, and I guess most of you here are familiar with lambs, how very meek and how very sweet they are. So we have this illustration of the Lamb of God, and we go right back perhaps to Abraham. Abraham, the father of the faithful, that one who God spoke to and said that his seed would cover the earth, and his seed would be blessed indeed. And you remember when Abraham was told to go and offer up his son, his only son Isaac, he didn't hesitate. No, he was willing to do God's will. And don't underestimate the cost of that decision. Here was the son of promise, and in that son really resided his religion, because God had promised him a son who would indeed fulfill the promise, and the son had been born, and now he's told to go and offer up Isaac. Well, he didn't hesitate. And on that journey with his son and his servants, the son asked him, Father, here is the fire and the wood, but where is the burnt offering? Where is the offering? Where is the lamb? And what did Abraham say? My son, God will provide himself a lamb. And that was a wonderful word, a wonderful prophecy, a wonderful faith. And we know, of course, that in his own case, God appeared on that mount right at the very last moment, about to slay his son. God told him to stop, because now he knew. He proved Abraham, and he provided a substitute in that ram caught by its horns in the thicket. God had fulfilled that promise to Abraham in that sense. And my friends, God has fulfilled that promise to the whole church of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And then just to continue for a moment, remember when Israel were to come out of Egypt. All those plagues had been brought before Pharaoh, and they hadn't succeeded in letting the Israelites go. But when that last plague was to be brought, the death of the firstborn, what was to occur? The institution of the Passover. a very, very symbolic occasion. They were told to take a lamb, a perfect lamb, and to slay the lamb, and to take the blood, and to strike the doorposts and the lintels with that blood. And when the avenging angel came, when it saw the blood, it would pass over that house. My friends, that's a wonderful illustration of God's love and mercy. And today, when the blood of Christ is seen, as it were, over us, there is safety. Yes, there is preservation. There is redemption. That Lamb of God had to be roasted in the fire. The Lord Jesus Christ was roasted in the fire of God's wrath so that he might bear the punishment instead. And then down on through the ages, there was the morning and evening sacrifice, that lamb taken and slain, the blood shed and offered up as a sacrifice. And then, of course, there was the annual Day of Atonement. Yes, when there was again that bloodshed, and there was that offering up, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. That Day of Atonement was to take away the sins of Israel. My friends, here we have a glorious fulfillment of that Lamb of God. And see then why the Israelites would have been familiar with this figure which was now set before them. And John the Baptist comes and tells them, behold the Lamb of God. They were now to come face to face with the true Saviour, the true Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing, what a glorious and wonderful day it was. And as we know, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Well, John was blessed with that revelation. And John did see the Son of God coming to him. And John did indeed baptize him. You may remember the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Yes, what a blessing it was to behold that Lamb of God. You see, he wasn't known to John in the same way until he was revealed in that way. My friends, the Saviour is not known to us until he's revealed to us. All of us here this morning are familiar, I'm sure, with the Bible. We're all familiar with the account and the many accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are familiar with that. But the great truth is, the great important truth is, has Christ been revealed to us as the Lamb of God to your soul? It's not just a theory. It's not just an historical account. But it's a blessed living reality to believe that this same Jesus, this same Lamb of God, came for that divine purpose to redeem us, redeem you and me from our sins, which taketh away the sin of the world. This was the reason the Saviour came into the world, to redeem his church, to take away their sins, every sin, every sin. Not one remained. What brings us into darkness? Our sin. What brings us out of darkness? The light of the Saviour through his death, through his sin atoning death. That's what brings us out of darkness. If you and I are to be found, therefore, in the light, it will be as we, by faith, have viewed the Lord Jesus Christ suffering in our place, bearing our sins. And the evidence, I believe, of that light shining into our hearts will be this. There will be a difference in our lives. And the difference will be this. There will now be a conflict in your heart between the old nature and the new. Whereas your old nature loved sin, now your old nature will strive to walk away from sin. Your new nature, God-given nature, is holy, is righteous. And the old nature still lingers after sin. You'll know the conflict. And it will make you cry unto God. He will help you to turn away from sin. Help you to hate sin. Help you to seek after righteousness and holiness. This is the evidence of the light from this Lamb of God shining into our hearts. That change, that difference, that new nature. It's not just a theoretical knowledge of this Lamb of God. It's a blessed spiritual knowledge. And you now view the Saviour. You now view Jesus differently. Whereas, I believe, especially the Old Testament prophecies didn't really touch you, didn't really mean very much. Perhaps you didn't realise what they really meant. Now, as you read them, you bless God for them. You understand what they meant, and you see there in those prophecies the figure of a suffering Saviour. And as that light shines into your heart, oh, you realise the cost of your salvation. Nothing small. The great cost. The enormous cost. How willing was Jesus to die that we fellow sinners might live. The life they could not take away, how willing was Jesus to give. He gave his life a ransom to redeem our souls. This Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Well, Isaiah was blessed with a wonderful view and a wonderful vision of this Lamb of God. And he tells us in the 53rd of Isaiah, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Ponder just for a moment the greatness of God, the one who created all things, who created the universe, and yet brought to this situation like a lamb in order that he might save us from all our sins. In these words, taken away, who taketh away the sin of the world. That takes away our sin. And so as we read these words that the apostle under the Spirit of God was able to declare, he is despised and rejected of men. By nature, you and I have rejected this man. Are we still rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still rejecting him, my friend? You either reject him or you receive him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Again, that's the condition of the unbeliever. We didn't esteem Christ. Do we esteem Christ now? What think ye of Christ is the test. How vitally important it is. Do we esteem Christ now? That one who's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. The Saviour was wounded for our sins, your sin and my sin, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Think of that. We are healed from our sin. All those furrows that sin have made in our life. Oh yes, they've brought to the surface the evil of our heart. He was bruised. With his stripes, we are healed. It's a good thing to meditate upon the death of Christ. It's a good thing to be found at Calvary and to view the cost of our salvation. We may perhaps sometimes become indulgent in looking at ourself and thinking how hard our lot is, how difficult it is, and how much opposition we have. But it may be true. But pray that the Spirit of God may lead you to Calvary. It will then put things in a good and a right perspective. You will then be able to observe how small by comparison your sufferings are. Yes, how small they are. They're a blessing when they become small. And by comparison, they almost disappear as you bow down and view the man of sorrows suffering for you. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You think of that. What a comparison. You think of ourself. You think of yourself. Deceit. It's in us, in our nature. It's a very sad condition. Deceit. Oh, so often we are deceitful. Perhaps not in a brazen way, but perhaps in a small way. And the Spirit of God shines into our heart. Yes, to show that deceit. You know, sometimes I think it's like this. When the Lord first of all comes into our heart, the light shines. It's like perhaps a candle in a dark room, and it shines into our life, and well, there's an amazing view we have. But as we grow spiritually, it's as though God then comes with his light and he shines into our heart. And then we see things, sins there which we didn't realize were there, and we didn't realize perhaps they were sin. We bow down under it. And then God shines his light brighter into our heart. And we see more sin. And then he shines it brighter still, right into the corners of our heart. And we see more sin still. And perhaps then we come and cry out, can ever God dwell here? Well, then it is that we're thankful that we have such a great Saviour, such a one who walked this way. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Yes, the Lord gave his life for our sin, every sin. Thou shalt make his own offering for sin. He shall see his seed. And he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. The Lord bears our sin. Now, my friends, I believe when that Spirit of God shines in our heart like that, oh, you see, then we see light in God's light. Then we see the amazing love of the Saviour. And it is by faith that we truly observe what the Apostle said here, not John the Baptist said here, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, that taketh away my sin. My sin, this is the great issue. It's not just a general statement. It's a personal statement which comes into our hearts, into our lives. We'll understand what the Apostle Peter records. And Peter knew, didn't he, how easy it was to sin, easy it was to deny his Lord and Master. And what does he say? For even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You see this word guile again. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Sheep going astray. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord came and he found us. He left the 99. He went after that one sheep and he put it on his shoulders and he carried it home. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, what a great blessing it is that we have such a word as this to encourage us, as we may perhaps be found looking down. We do look down, don't we? Or to look up, to behold this Lamb of God, to realize that he is our sin bearer. He's carried away all our sins. He's kept the law. We couldn't keep it ourselves. We failed, my friends. We are failures. The Lord kept the law. He made it honorable. It was a righteous law. He kept it on our behalf. On our behalf. Oh, if you realize how you failed, how you've sinned, how you continue to sin, and his great and glorious Saviour, he stood in your place. He bore the punishment instead. That punishment was due to you and me. Oh, when the light shines, what a wonderful light it is. We see all our sins forever washed away. Indeed, as Peter said in that first chapter, he says, "For ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but is manifest in these last times for you." Who, by him, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. It's not in ourselves, but it's in God. It's his work. Bless God it is, from beginning to end. And because it is so, then he has the honour and he has the glory. And I believe our desire must be and will be willingly to come and to praise and to glorify his great and holy name for all that he has done. Remember what Nathanael said. We read this morning the end of that chapter. "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." There will be, you see, a hereafter. If we are blessed, if we view the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, we shall indeed behold him as the Apostle John had a view on the Isle of Patmos when he said, "One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of his right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Well, that's the prospect for the church of God. That's the prospect for those who by faith behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so may we look into our own hearts this morning and search for that gracious and blessed and wonderful evidence that God has given us that faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to indeed behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £570, and for the Needy Cases Fund on Monday to £862, for which we will be very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hyde hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon, and there will be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting tomorrow evening. Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. 897.
may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.